We are stuck in a very strange place and time, and conspiracy theories are rampant nowadays to the point where it is difficult to draw the line between fact and fiction. I'm your host, Ethan Bridges, and welcome to Conspiracy Me. The vast majority of you know why you are here, so I won't have you explain yourselves. And like myself, you are curious about the world around you and how it works. You know the basics to conspiracy theories, and many that I will discuss here are very well-known theories. But most of those are just the tip of the conspiracy theory iceberg. The iceberg is a multi-level construct ranging from the more well-known theories to some that even I have never heard of. Visualize an actual iceberg and note that the tip of it is always the smallest part of the entire entity. In each episode, I will go through all the hard work and research for your benefit to give the history behind the theory and its following. We are going to start in the horizon with the simpler and more well-known theories. Then we will dive into the ones we have no idea how deep they go. Buckle up, because it's going to be a bumpy ride. Today's episode is in my top 10 favorite conspiracy theories. My only reason? I've experienced it. Too many times. Even to the point where I've made some interesting discoveries on my own that others have never made. Maybe you remember a content warning. Perhaps it was a trigger warning. Who knows which alternative reality we live in? Be careful. I'm warning you. In 2009, Fiona Broom made a discovery that would change the world forever. Ms. Broom was at a conference meeting when she found out that former South African President Nelson Mandela was still alive and living a very peaceful life in South Africa. But she thought he had died when he was incarcerated in the 1980s. She was confused and decided to make a website explaining her confusion. She coined her confusion as something we possibly have heard before, called the Mandela Effect. It turns out, she was not alone. The Mandela Effect is a very strange phenomenon that others claim is false memory, a false narrative we've been living under. There is a definitive line that is drawn between those who have experienced it and those who claim it is a hoax and people are misremembering. On Broom's website, more people began to post about other things they have noticed have changed. Many people believe Fruit Loops was spelled F-R-U-I-T instead of F-R-O-O-T. That Oscar Mayer had an E instead of an A in Mayer. As a child, I remember spelling Mayer as M-E-Y-E-R. Some people will claim that people just cannot spell correctly, which is totally valid. I would have never won my school spelling bee, but this effect goes deeper than just spelling. And this is where I get messed up. I would like to preface that I am super confused now within my own realm of the Mandela Effect that it's not funny anymore. I truly believe that there were 6 people in the vehicle instead of 4 because a few years ago I watched many a YouTube video on the subject and they only had 4 people in the car. Now it has been changed back to 6, and I am so confused. In our current reality, there are 6 people in the Lincoln instead of 4. My father was born in 1952. He remembers that he was in Mrs. Smith's 5th grade class November of 1963 when the news broke out about President Kennedy's assassination. In the days that followed, more people began to discuss what happened in Texas that November day. When the Zapruder film came out and was published, many people became confused. How many people were in the car with JFK and Jackie O? If you said 6, then I would agree with you. Imagine the car coming toward you. Sitting in the driver's seat was the driver. Beside him was a Secret Service agent. Behind him, Governor Connally. Beside him, Connally's wife. Behind her was FLOTUS, Jackie Kennedy. And beside her was JFK. This is what I remember. This is what my father remembers, and this is what many people remember. But according to actual copies of photos and films, we are wrong. It wasn't a six-seated car, but four, meaning two people are missing from what I just described to you. Connolly's wife and the Secret Service personnel. Why would the public have such a deep memory of something that is apparently not true? At the time of this recording, I did not look back at the shot-by-shot of the actual assassination because I was so sure that there were four people in the car. You have no idea how confused I am currently, and I apologize for the misinformation. Moreover, there are more than just misspelled words or ideas that have changed history. Famous movie lines fall under the spell of the Mandela Effect. Many people remember the line from Empire Strikes Back as, "Luke, I am your father." But this isn't what James Earl Jones says. He says, "No, I am your father." My favorite film is The Godfather. I think it is one of the most cinematic beauties ever to be filmed. But up until I finally watched it, I always thought the line, "You're like family to me," was inside the film. It's not. But I'm not the only one who believes that the line was in the film. In a parodied version of The Godfather, Rugrats Go to Paris features Angelica playing the role of Don Vito Corleone. She says the line, "You're like family to me, Finster," responding to Chucky. So I know that I'm not the only one who shares the memory of "You're like family to me." Recently, my fiancé and I were watching Scary Movie 2, as one does. We both discovered in sheer horror that Chris Elliott does not say, "Take my strong hand." Instead, he says, "Take my little hand." My favorite band is the Beatles. In 1967, they released Sgt. Pepper's, one of the most regarded and celebrated albums to date. In the song, "With a Little Help from My Friends," I distinctly remember Ringo Starr singing, "What would you do if I sang out of tune?" Listen to the song again, and Ringo sings, "What would you think if I sang out of tune?" I feel as though these false memories and ideas keep popping up around us. How could we remember something wrong? What would taint that memory? From the Berenstain Bears to the location of New Zealand, why is this happening? When I return, I will dive a little deeper into what this effect is really doing to us and how it came to be in our reality. Things aren't always what they appear to be. Be vigilant. We live in an ever-changing world. Some think that it is for the better, and some believe that we are steadily getting worse. The Mandela Effect keeps occurring to the point where it is hard to state where it arrived in the beginning. I truly believe that it would be an imposing story if it wasn't such a mass and profound effect on different people in a single population. Where do these false memories and narratives come from? Part of the conspiracy theory population believe when we experience a Mandela effect, it is because we have crossed paths with an alternate reality. The idea of a multiverse is very real. Many scientists and theorists claim that there are multiple versions of yourself, not just floating in our universe, but in other galaxies and dimensions as well. The best part of this theory is that no one can disprove it. Some scientists claim that they truly are false memories, that our own mind taints and distorts a memory to fit how we perceive it at that time. According to VeryWellMind.com, a simple neuroscience explanation would be that we associate Alexander Hamilton and Benjamin Franklin with not just the founding fathers of the United States, but also along with the presidents. This explains why many people claim that Benjamin Franklin was a president. They are stored as an engram, and when engrams are similar to one another, the association and placement in the brain for them is called a schema, or to categorize facts together. Another theory for the Mandela Effect is memory-related concepts, one where you are trying to fill in the gaps of memory with imaginary ideas. Sometimes misleading information after the fact comes along and taints a memory. This is why it is crucial for detectives to get as many eyewitness accounts before the investigation, because the longer the memory sits, the more likely it will be tainted by false memories. Another stipulation toward the memory-related concept is priming. Priming occurs when there is a certain level of suggestion toward a person. Probing for a narrative that the person asking is seeking. Instead of keeping something vague with A instead of the, or what did you see instead of did you see that, really keeps the idea of suggestion at a minimal. Of course, the internet does not help. The access and influence everyone has via the internet can taint nearly everything it touches. This ties back with the fake news episode, how easily one can spread falsehoods via the internet. Twitter may be the leading cause in this hurtful effect. It is amazing what kind of harm you can do with 140 characters. But there is one theory that strikes me as odd. I have seen engrossing videos on YouTube that suggest the science company, CERN, is behind the monstrosity that is the Mandela Effect. CERN is a physics lab in Geneva, Switzerland. They operate the largest particle collider in the world. They study the effects of certain atoms colliding together to form energy from the atom smashing, which is a form of nuclear power. Many theorists know of the Hadron Collider, and this collider is the main focus of these theories. CERN does other methods of testing this nuclear power, but this is the main focus of the conspiracy community hones in on. The collider spins atoms at really high speeds to crash into one another to collect data of energy. Theorists claim that these atoms colliding has resulted in a shift of our reality and is cause of time travel and or alternate realities coming together as one. CERN doesn't help their case because their logo is three sixes interlocked, and according to theologists, 666 is the mark of the devil. It could be our simulator changing things, and many of us are going along with the changes, but there are some of us who remain awake, alert, and ready for when the Matrix changes things once again. Thank you for listening to Conspiracy Me. Until next time, I'm your host, Ethan Bridges. Be careful, and don't say I didn't warn you. This has been an Ebb and Flow production. To contact me, please email me at conspiracymepod@gmail.com. Follow us on Twitter at conspiracymepod, and give Conspiracy Me a review on Apple Podcast, or subscribe wherever you listen to your podcast. For listener support, please visit anchor.fm/conspiracy-me/support.